Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's off to a fabulous start to the week. We got a lot to get into today on the program. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, will join us at 7:30. Corey Curtis for his weekly visit at 8 o'clock. And Joe, what I'm going to now advocate for all of us moving forward, the beginning and end of my work week today. 1 week, or one day.
Yeah, the one-day work week. That's solid, man.
Yeah.
But just imagine if you didn't do today, then you'd be talking about like 9 days in a row off.
That's true.
Should have done that.
I did.
Why didn't you do that?
Because I have some other selective strategic days moving forward here into August and September. But just like
Chase is counting your days. It's freaking taking
He's probably
off.
I mean,
he's
probably not
counting your days.
No.
Whatever. I'm glad you're here for a day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
Good
you.
To have you.
We'll have TD in tomorrow and then Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser's mortal enemy, the rest of the week. Keyser, how are we feeling?
You thought you had 4 days of Kuharski, but you only have three.
Yeah,
days
you only
of
have three.
That's okay. Yeah, I'll be fine with that.
Okay.
No doubt. Yeah. We'll have a fun time with that, Robbie, this week.
I hope so.
Okay.
Hope you guys have a great time.
I would assume that you'd have a better time with Butterbeer, right? I don't know if that's where you guys are going or not. But
I'm not going anywhere.
Oh, that's
yeah, I'm
right.
Out. But if I were going down there to have some butterbeer in Orlando, I'd have a great time. Yeah.
Butterbeer, okay. Yeah. I thought you said Butterbean, which is, I think,
a wrestler.
Was a wrestler.
I do not want to encounter Butterbean on vacation.
I'm like a little stopped up Joe, so I guess I could have passed off for that, too.
But you stay in there.
What?
You stay in there. Don't you move.
You all right?
Don't get me sick on vacation.
No, I just had little bit of like an allergy thing.
Oh,
over the
okay.
Weekend.
When you said a little bit stopped up, I took that differently. Okay.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Okay, good. Yeah, don't eat too much cheese.
Off to a roaring start.
Yeah,
this morning.
Yikes!
I like
cheese.
It. We also came maybe to a conclusion here, Rex Road. Keyser told me David Janes backed him up. I think the headphone mover and shaker in here is a combination of Nick Frazier and Willie Donick. That's the information I was being fed this morning by a couple of sources.
Okay.
Nick Frazier, Willie Donick, the headphone movers.
Okay. No, yeah. I'm sure a lot of people, it's weird when people, if a bunch of seats being used, then things get moved. I get that. But if people like sit here, then they choose the single ear. That's what I never understood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good to know though. I mean, Four's Company is a lot of dudes, you know?
A lot of different options.
A lot of dudes in that show.
No
Four,
doubt about
in
that.
Fact.
Four. There's no doubt about it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Again, our text line's back, baby. So if you missed that on Friday, our text line's back in there. So hit us with your text messages, your phone calls, the YouTube chat still living on. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Did you see the Copa America stuff last night? So Argentina and Colombia were playing down in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium where the Dolphins play. And before the game, basically, security got overrun. And from what I heard, a lot of this security was like not what the normal security is there. It goes through the Copa America stuff and apparently just did not go well. So there was people outside of the gate that basically just rushed into the stadium. They eventually just let them all in as a free-for-all and then closed the gates at some point. And there were people on the outside that had paid, in some cases, hundreds, in some cases, thousands of dollars for tickets that did not make it inside the building for the match, that were highly upset about it outside, understandably so. And then inside the building, it was like an unbelievable amount of people. They broke the escalator in one of the club levels up at Hard Rock Stadium. A wild scene last night for the Copa America final, in which, by the way, Argentina won 1-0 over Colombia.
So you're telling me that random people just rushed the gates and got in, but people who spent a ton of money didn't get in.
That's what I'm telling you.
Good God.
Got it free, just running in.
Yeah, they need to. They might need to work on their event management a little bit.
I would say so.
Also, yesterday, big day for Spain. Speaking of
big day for Spain.
Speaking of football, tough day for England. Sorry, England.
Carlos Alcaraz winning Wimbledon, taking down Novak Djokovic again in the final. So big day for him. And then Spain taking down England as well. So if you're a fan of Spain, a Spaniard, as they say, big day for you yesterday.
Yeah, Alcaraz is. He's
he's the next guy.
He's gonna need the next guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's gonna go on a run.
He's the next guy, and you know Djokovic had surgery on his knee like 5 weeks ago. So the fact that he got to the final was pretty outstanding. But
like a scope or something more than that.
It was like I can't remember if it was a meniscus or what it was, but it was like he got surgery, and a lot of people didn't expect him to get to the final. And then you could see it pretty quickly yesterday, like when he – I think the first two were 6-2, 6-2 for Alcaraz, and he was – first off, he was playing great, but Djokovic just didn't quite have it yesterday.
Fought back in the third set. Got the tiebreak.
But Alcaraz was just too much. But, yeah, I think he's kind of like that next guy. Like, I've said it before, and maybe I shouldn't make, like, grand statements like this. I doubt very seriously in that sport we're ever going to see again – three people at the same time being at the highest level of Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. Like, it's pretty difficult to imagine that we're going to see something like that again, but maybe. Maybe Alcaraz and some other people step up to be that.
And yet I still long for the days of McEnroe, Lendl, and Becker.
Yeah. Know? It goes in waves,
and Mats Wilander.
I mean, McEnroe's still heavily involved up there.
He is. He's got a great leisure suit, that's for sure.
He does, no doubt about that. The MLB draft – yesterday as well, Chase Burns going at number 2 overall. So the former Vol going number 2, Station Camp high school product, and then Christian Moore going at number 8 overall last night. Tony Vitello was on the MLB Network coverage, and there was a pretty funny moment between him and Christian Moore was getting interviewed after being drafted, and then he just shouted out Vitello, and Vitello put his hands up in the air on TV. It was pretty funny, but Christian Moore going in the top 10 last night. We talked about like the idea that and this happened.
And there were a lot of people pushing the idea
of like him sliding either out of the first round entirely or late into the first round. And I was like, I don't know about that. He's pretty darn good. And turns out he's pretty darn good. He went in the top 10.
Yeah, that's good to see. And I do think that Omaha might have helped him. I mean, maybe not. The guy can mash. You know, I mean, I understand, like, defensively, where does he fit? And, you know, he was a little bit of an adventure at second base, but okay. if you can hit for power like that and just hit like that in general, then, yeah, man, you're going to go high. So I was glad to see that. Also, just imagine if, you know, number 2 overall pick Chase Burns was on this Tennessee team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you also had what? Blake Burke, 34.
Blake Burke to Milwaukee. And then Dylan Dreiling got drafted to the Twins?
Rangers.
Rangers. He was the Rangers.
Billy Amick goes to the Twins. So
big night for the Vols.
That's about, yeah. So basically, I would say everyone you would have expected. So we still have, no, Kavaris Tears. No?
I did not see that Tears got drafted.
I got to say, we'll see, man. We'll see where things go. I really think that he has massive upside as a player. I really do. I thought that would land him in the draft by now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would be much longer.
I would imagine not. I mean, look, the MLB draft, admittedly, I don't sit there and just watch it every year.
Well, I was watching some last night, and they tried their darndest now to make it just like the
really
other drafts.
Do.
They got what's his name up there? You know,
I had a really close friend of mine get drafted back in 2016 or 20, I guess it was 2014, 2015, somewhere back in there. Anyway, yeah, 2014, and it was different because like I was just with him, and we were at my house, and he got drafted in like the 6th round. So, like, there at that time, there's like 30 some odd rounds. I don't know how many rounds there are now. I guess it's the same, but it's just a different type of draft than
There's so much of it.
It's just so much of.
But they've tried to make the early part of it. And I get it. I would do the same thing.
Yeah, I would too. And I did catch some of it last night. And as you would expect, Tony Vitello on TV is pretty good.
Yeah, you know what I found out is that YouTube TV doesn't have MLB. We don't have MLB TV. We don't have NHL Network either, which stinks. But I didn't. This is the first, because I was like, I wanted to watch that. I see you get the fur coat on, but I had to watch ESPN coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume he was pretty good.
He was pretty good. Pretty good stuff. I mean, as you would expect for Vitello and his personality. Like, I guess on TV, you got to be a little bit more careful than normal if you're Tony Vitello. But
yeah,
he did a nice job.
Okay, that's good. Anything really funny?
Not really. Just the fur coat stuff was pretty good.
Yeah. And he kept it on the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, good for him.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Lots to get into on the program today. We'll get into the Titans coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. As we said, Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, will be with us at 7:30. We've got a Rob rant for you today. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. Lots ahead. Coming up next, we'll get into a little college football. Are you actually excited about this year in the SEC with no divisions, Texas and Oklahoma coming in? Do you love it? Do you hate it? What do you make of the idea? 615-737-1025. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. The YouTube chat also open as well. Somebody is already asking Nick why he hates PK. My work here is done.
So the YouTube chat's going. Okay, I'll get that going. But Twitter now, you have to have a premium subscription.
Yeah, we have to get the...
Was that announced?
We have to get the... Well, it's the premium subscription to have our stream of our program.
Right.
So,
okay.
Whatever platform we use, don't worry, the suit's coming back today. Huh. We'll get him to take care of it.
You think he should pay
it? Yeah.
Yeah? How many people?
Not my money. So, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah, sure, I guess. Like, well, how much does that cost?
I don't know.
Premium sounds expensive.
It does. Maybe we'll get Keezer to pay it. Keezer, instead of the pizza that you owe us, just pay the premium stream.
Yeah, so
I don't care if we're streamed. I want the pizza. Actually, you don't.
The pizza does sound pretty good.
You don't have to pay for Robbie's.
Yeah, I like that idea. I just bought my new Xbox this weekend, too. So I am not interested.
In anticipation for something happening a little bit later this week?
That and a few other games as well that I've been wanting. So
when is that?
I waited a long time.
I know we're going to get into that.
Today is when you can play the deluxe version, right?
If you've ordered, ordered deluxe, you can play today. It's, I did not. Yeah. I just wait until Friday.
I'm waiting until then. Actually,
Friday's the day.
The guy at the store told me come Thursday night at 7 and I'll give you a hard copy since you pre-ordered it. And I was like, oh, okay.
We'll get into that a little bit later in the program. But a big week for many of us nerds out there.
A lot of people excited.
A lot of people very excited. Speaking of excited, are people actually excited about what this year in the SEC is going to look like? There is the baseline of, like, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're excited to watch Tennessee play, obviously. Vanderbilt fan, you're excited to watch Vanderbilt play. So I get all that. Like, everybody, for the most part, loves college football. We all love college football. All that's great. Do you actually like the format that we're headed to with no divisions this year, with Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference? Do you think it's going to lead to a better overall product? That is kind of the heart at what I'm getting at here, if you're out there. 615-737-1025. So, Joe Rexroad, let's ask you. No divisions this year in the SEC. We have Texas and Oklahoma coming in for the moment, although hopefully this is changing sometime in the not-too-distant future. It's still an 8-game conference schedule in the SEC rather than the 9, and I think both of us agree we need to get to 9 as quickly as humanly possible. What do you make of where we're headed this year and what it's actually going to mean in terms of the quality of football we see from this conference heading into this season?
Well, I like no divisions and all. Who still has divisions? The ACC still
I believe the ACC still does.
Atlantic, whatever. You know,
and whatever the Big 12 has turned into, I don't know if they've got divisions or not.
Yeah, I don't think so. Obviously, they haven't recently because they were much smaller, yes, and now they're much bigger. And there is, by the way, there's, you know, there's Florida State Clemson talk out there.
There is.
There are people out there who believe that that actually could happen for the Big 12, which is interesting. But, yeah, no, they don't have divisions. So the ACC, I mean, I'm just looking at the standings on ESPN.com. They don't have it broken into divisions. Does that mean they got rid of divisions too?
Maybe.
Maybe they did. I like no divisions, and I've said this a million times before. I'll just keep saying it. I love that we go to the Pac-12, the two teams. They should have divisions. You know, the Oregon State division, the Washington State division.
I agree.
But I like that, and I also think it should lead to no SEC championship game. I don't.
Are they having a Pac-12 title game this year?
They'll just play each other week after week after week.
Our seven-game series.
Yeah, exactly.
In college football.
Yeah, and you settle it for real. So I like no divisions. But look, ultimately, is the product good? Like, I'm excited for some of the games that will result from this. I'm excited for Texas and Oklahoma to be in the league and play Tennessee and Alabama and LSU and Georgia. I mean, that's exciting. But also, this is why I really think they should get rid of the title game. You know, the imbalanced schedule, especially with eight. I mean, it's not like nine's going to fix it. Nine's still going to be bad, but at least be like the Big Ten. I mean, I'm for 10. Do 10. Then you have, you know, equal number of games, but equal number of home and road games. It's just like there's just going to be such – because some years your schedule is even going to be more loaded than you might even think going into the season. We've talked about Florida's schedule. It's insane what they're looking at. But some – on a given year even, you know, somebody's schedule might be even easier or even harder than it looks going in. And then somebody else's is so different. It's just stupid. It's stupid to have leagues this big that don't make geographical sense. So I just will keep coming back to that. But I'm ready for the football. The football's not stupid, you know?
I mean, there are some big-time games this year in the SEC. And we get that every year. I mean, look, I mean, Alabama and LSU have played every year. And, you know, back in the day, we know Tennessee and Florida was a premium matchup in college football in the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, so we've gotten these games in the SEC, but there are a ton of them. Go look at it this year. I mean, there's a ton of them. Georgia is playing Alabama. You got Texas coming in the fold. You know, Tennessee, Oklahoma is going to be a big one. Like, there's a lot of really, really good games on the schedule. So I really like that. It's interesting if you're like a Tennessee fan. I think Georgia and Alabama probably excluded from this conversation a little bit just because they've been there so often. But like, if you're a fan that has watched SEC football for a long time and you have grown to really appreciate and or care about the conference title game, it's harder to get there technically now. I mean, all you had to do recently was, and I say all you had to do if it was some easy task, but all you had to do was win your division and you were there. You didn't necessarily have to be the second best team in the SEC.
Right.
And now you do. You have to be the second best team in the SEC or the first best team, or have the tiebreakers fall your way.
And just wait till we get in the tiebreakers.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I guess it's just another level of arguing, which is part of what we love about college football. So add another reason to argue. But there will be, if they're just going to keep this going, and I mean, again, I see the potential for the playoff to go certainly to like 16, right? And as you keep going that way down the road of the playoff, I think these conference championship games have to get smoked.
Is sad to me. But
yeah, and that's the thing. The SEC, that's where it's interesting. And the Big Ten, it's a decade. Okay, fine. You can get rid of it. But the SEC, it is. It's a tradition of more than 30 years now.
Yeah.
But tradition, of course, has been trampled left and right.
But I agree with you because, I mean, I would argue, and some people agree with this, some people disagree with it, I would argue that actually winning the conference championship
has already been devalued by the 4-team playoff, it's about to get really devalued with 12 and then eventually going to 14. Because, yeah, you get to say, oh, cool, we're the SEC champions. It's also just another game you have to play, right? Like, it's another game. And I know if you're good enough to win the SEC, you're probably in the conversation for that first-round bye in the playoffs. So maybe it ends up evening out at the end of the day. But, like, maybe you're not. Like, maybe there's a team, I don't know, that is good. They win the SEC title. And I don't know. It's just the amount of games that you're going to have to play now. And then we'll see as you move forward. Like, if it continues to expand, the path to get to a national champion, I just think that the game, the conference title itself is going to matter less and less as we move forward.
That is the one thing about getting rid of the divisions, because with the division format, you definitely could have that, you know, the LSU team for a couple of years ago that gets hot, gets to Atlanta, they would not have had the bye,
right?
You know, had they won. So at least with no divisions, yeah, you would think that whoever
should be pretty good,
the top two. But yeah, there could be like a weird tiebreaker. I don't know. I mean, it's possible that you could get hosed and have to play that and then play another one. And if you win the SEC championship by tiebreaker, which of course would be the scenario if you don't have a championship game, that makes it even less exciting, right?
It does, yes.
But again, if you're going to make conferences this big, then you can't possibly have any semblance of equity with your scheduling.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I, as a college football fan, I am excited that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. I think, you know, when you can bring two programs in like that, I think it's really cool. Now, I also subscribe to the theory of, like, I don't want the SEC to one day be, you know, 30 teams. Like, it's – and I don't know if we're going to get there or not, but I didn't know that we'd get to this point either, and it looks like we may not be stopping, right? Like, Florida State and Clemson are going to end up somewhere. I don't know where it's going to be, whether it's the Big 12, whether the ACC makes a move to keep the band together, whether the SEC gets involved. Because, I mean, geographically – Clemson and Florida State make a lot of sense in the SEC, more so than we see, but we know that geography just doesn't really matter a whole lot anymore.
Yeah, but, I mean, the SEC is at least, you know, unlike the Big Ten, right? I mean, the SEC, is everybody still connected? Is everybody connected? You know what I mean? In other words, is there at least a state connection between everybody? Because obviously the Big Ten is just now all
I
over.
I think everybody's
the Big
connected.
Ten goes Rutgers to freaking Oregon and UCLA.
Which is just
completely
absurd.
Completely stupid.
Yeah. I think there's connect. There's full connection.
So, geographically, it still makes more sense than some of these leagues. And the Big 12 is now also totally dumb. But, yeah, you also have mouths to feed. So, Florida, how much value is brought versus now you're splitting up those checks even more?
Yep.
That's why this Big 12 stuff kind of makes sense, because I can see the SEC being like, yeah, I mean, they're good, but we're already in Florida. And, I mean, we got South Carolina. We got Beamer Ball.
I mean,
what else do we need?
We could be not that far away from Dion, Mike Gundy, and Dabo all at the same media day. That'd be something.
Wow.
Maybe Big 12 media day would be fun then.
Maybe it would be.
You could go.
That's quite a thought. Yeah, I have to go to one of those.
Speaking
of which, SEC media days this week.
This week, baby. 615-737-1025. What do you make of the way we're headed in college football with the SEC? Are you excited about Texas and Oklahoma coming in? Are you excited about the elimination of division? 615-737-1025. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We were going through the big games in the SEC. Lance texted us, said, don't forget Texas at Vandy. Texas is coming in here. We'll get Clark Lee's thoughts on all that.
Are you being sarcastic, Lance?
I don't know.
Are you trying to be funny, Lance? That is a big
deal. I have no idea what Vanderbilt's going to look like. They got a pretty new squad here. They may be able to give Texas a run.
Of course, that is one of those. It's funny because on my honeymoon in New Orleans, Texas played at Tulane that weekend.
Okay.
It was nothing but Texas fans in New Orleans. Like, nothing but Texas fans in New Orleans.
I imagine they'll probably bring a couple people for that one. Like the first time, yeah, go to Nashville for the weekend. Yeah. Yep. I mean, a lot of fan bases bring a lot of people. So, but, yeah, that Texas, that burnt orange, man.
Where do we think the Texas fan base is going to stack up in terms of most hated fan bases in the SEC? I mean, as we know, Tennessee is up there. They are a strong contender. Georgia, I mean, anybody who does a lot of winning, I think, gets automatically put on the list.
For sure.
And anybody who's got a large fan base. So we know Georgia's got a pretty good-sized fan base. Alabama, obviously. Tennessee. Texas has a massive fan base. Where do we think the Longhorn Twitter, the Longhorn, whatever you want to call them, is going to stack up? There's a lot of barking back and forth between Tennessee and Texas fans already.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they don't play this year.
Yeah. I'd like to ask Mike Herndon, he's a Texas grad, like how is Longhorn Twitter, Texas Twitter?
I would imagine it's pretty.
Yeah, I'm
pretty
sure
spicy.
It's, sure, I mean you have enough people, and that's also there are some parallels with Tennessee, the long suffering.
Yeah,
the difference is like Texas is kind of more like Notre Dame and Michigan. I know Michigan just won it all, so that you can probably remove them, I guess. But like we're supposed to be great. We think we're great, but you're really not great.
Right.
Whereas Tennessee has been more, oh, my God, we suck again. And look at this goofball. Another goofball as a head coach, et cetera, right?
Yeah.
A little bit different.
Although but Sark.
Texas is about to be insufferable because they're actually good again.
Yeah. Like Sark, obviously it's been an interesting path for him, but I think he's a good coach. I think Sarkisian's a really good coach.
Oh, yeah. No
and
doubt.
I think – you know, some of the stuff in his past he has clearly learned from, and he's done a pretty good job down there at Texas, both with recruiting, but some in-game. I mean, one of the most impressive wins of the entire year last year was, and I realized that Alabama team was not as loaded as some of the other Alabama teams just in terms of the full package, but walking into Tuscaloosa is not an easy thing to do, and they dominated that game.
No, they did. Yeah, like Alabama ended up figuring it out, so Texas got them at the right time.
Yep.
You know, because wasn't the next week? Was it the next week that Bama went to South Florida and tried all their QBs
yes.
and almost lost that game? Yeah. So, but no, Sark is very good. There is no doubt about it. So, I think they're going to be. And again, it's like I keep starting to say this about teams, and then it's like, oh, yeah, that doesn't matter anymore. I was about to say, you know, they're going to be in the playoff like pretty, I think, consistently, but it's like, well, of course they are now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you're Texas, you don't make the 12 team now. That's a problem. But that's true of a few programs.
A few programs. Keith in Bowling Green says, what about Mark Stoops being the senior coach in the SEC now? That is wild to think about with Saban and gone.
That's a great point. That is a great point, Keith. Yeah, it's wild. And I don't know off the top of my head what exactly that number is, but he's been there a long time, and he's still there. And, you know, it's been good. They've kind of settled in as like a nice, real solid program, more than I ever would have thought Kentucky could be. But yeah, who after that is there just isn't there's not a lot of long term coaching in this league, right? Everybody's a few years. I mean Kirby's probably the next, right?
Yeah, it'd be Kirby.
And he started in 2016.
Yep.
And lost to Vandy, by the way, in that first year.
He did.
And I was like, oh, this Kirby's smart. Oh,
and Tennessee.
Terrible. Another terrible Saban assistant hired by Georgia. Terrible. It's not going to work out. Sorry, Bulldogs.
Got beat by Butch Jones.
That's right. Got beat by Butch Jones. And although that was a day. Tennessee was supposed to go in there and, you know,
yeah.
win, and they really shouldn't have.
Yes.
Yeah. Juwan Jennings. Thanks to Juwan Jennings, Vols fans. But, yeah, that's
crying
wild.
On the field after. That's when I knew we might be in trouble.
Because the thing is, you know, right before that, Georgia hit basically a Hail Mary, like an absolutely inexcusable touchdown to give up. Yeah, there's just like it's like Stoops, Kirby, and then very recent with everybody else. Like it's within the last probably 4 years, right, that everybody else – correct me if I'm wrong. What year is this for Beamer?
I think it's four.
This is year four?
I think so.
It's right around there or less for like everybody else. In the league, but I guess that's sort of like the state of college football too.
Yeah, I mean it's just there's a lot of turnover everywhere you look. I mean this is year four for Beamer.
So. Year four for Beamer. Year four for Clark Lee,
yep.
who we'll have on in less than an hour
Heupel.
From Texas. Year four for Heupel. lot of coaching changes around 4 years ago.
Yes, there was. a lot of turnover in the conference. Yeah, like the other – there's interest, obviously, for no other reason than them coming over. But, like, Oklahoma is a big kind of swing team in the SEC this year. I don't know how good they're going to be. Like, Brent Venables, I think, is a good coach, but they have not been what you're used to seeing from Oklahoma, right? Like, they under Bob Stoops, certainly, but certainly, I mean, he continued under Lincoln Riley, were a playoff contender every year. And now you're coming in the SEC. I think they're over under win total on FanDuel 7.5. So they're going to be good. You talk about swing games for Tennessee, too, by the way. Like, that's a huge one. I think that's where it starts, is that one in Norman. So what exactly are they going to be heading into this year? Can they be a factor? And how is that Tennessee-Oklahoma game going to affect the type of year that Nico and the Vols have? Going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge game for Tennessee. Obviously, you got the whole sideshow of Heupel going home. Yep. And all that went down when he got fired and he kind of got scapegoated for their issues and now coming back home.
And I believe that will be the first SEC game in Norman as well, which it's going to be rocking down there.
Yeah. And they've got a young QB. I mean, they could be really good. I mean, Oklahoma's got talent. They've always got talent. What's a better program, Oklahoma or Texas?
I mean, if you want to go the last 25 years, it's, I think, pretty clearly been Oklahoma, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, just in general, right now, what's a better program?
I mean, Oklahoma just beat them last year, too.
I mean, Oklahoma has really,
I think I would go Oklahoma.
Them.
Yeah.
I would, too. It's a better program. I mean, they might not have the better team this year. And I do think, I think Texas has a better coach, so I've judged it like that too. I mean, we'll see with Venables. Rough start.
It was.
It's gotten better. But yeah, Oklahoma, as long as you have if you have the right coach, I don't know, man. They've been pretty consistent since Stoops turned it around from the 90s debacles that they had going on there. They've been about as consistent as anyone.
Well, I've said it. Like, if you're Georgia and Kirby Smart and the train that he's got rolling right now, I don't know how much the addition of Texas and Oklahoma is going to affect you. Like, it's tougher, but they got that
thing. You only play 8 games.
That's the thing. Like, you got that thing that's such a well-oiled machine right now that Georgia is going to be a factor for as long as Kirby Smart is there. We know that. If you're Tennessee, if you're Florida, programs like that, like, your job this year immediately becomes harder with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. Now, there's opportunity there, and again, I think it's a really good thing that both teams are coming into the league. But there's no doubt that your job has become more difficult with two outstanding programs now joining what was already the best conference in college football.
Yeah. But in a given year, you might play neither of them, and, like, you know, and you. I mean, they're going to try to make these schedules, I think, as balanced as possible. But it's just, it's again, when you have the league this big, it's just like, oh, we play them this year. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're all just trying to get in the playoff, and then you go from there.
I mean, the good news is you'll be at some of these places. Like, wasn't it? It was Texas A&M, and I can't remember which team they played. I think it may have been, like, Georgia. But they hadn't been there since they came into the league.
It was Texas A&M, Georgia. Yeah. Right.
And they came there, like, it was last year. It was like the first time they got there.
It's only going to get more like that.
Yeah.
That's why leagues used to be, 8-10 teams.
Right.
Close to each other. You could drive. Stuff like that.
Well, I look for – do Rutgers and, like, USC play this year? Is this going to be like an immediate – cross-country battle, the beginning of a new rivalry, maybe?
That is a good question. I don't know. I'm sure Rutgers plays one of those teams from out west, right?
I mean, I would think so.
Just absurd. I mean, look at the Big Ten. I'm just, it's
they
just,
play Washington on September the 27th. At
wonderful.
Home. So Washington's got to make that nice cross-country jaunt out there to Rutgers.
And I've been in that stadium on a game day in Piscataway, New Jersey.
I'm sure it's electric.
James Gandolfini was there that day, too.
Really?
They beat Michigan State. Big day. Big day for Greg Schiano.
And UCLA, too. So Rutgers, they do have to go to USC. So it's all sorts of cross-country travel taking place in the Big Ten this year.
Yeah, if you ever think the SEC is stupid, just look at the Big Ten.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will answer the question once and for all coming up next. Is Joe Rexroad a certified boomer? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Is Joe Rexroad a certified boomer? That's the question we're attempting to answer in this segment here today. So, Joe, I feel like this has now become an annual tradition that I certainly look forward to every year. And it really has nothing to do with the uniform release themselves. It really has more to do with you and the reaction that I know will be coming once this happens. So there was a lot of anticipation last week on Vol Twitter. The rumors had gotten out that the next iteration of the smoky gray uniform was going to be released. And it finally was on Saturday morning. Tennessee football came out with what they're going to wear at some point this year, the smoky gray. I mean, it's gray enough in the photo where it basically almost looks black, but I guess it is gray.
Yeah, I didn't think it was smoky gray.
Yeah, it's smoky gray. There's Tennessee lettering across the front, which I believe is the first time they've ever had a jersey that actually says Tennessee on it, and just there's the power T over top of it. They've got like the TriStar on the shoulder. I like it. You know, I don't know that I would like it for more than one game, but I like it. It was cool. I saw some Tennessee friends of mine say, "Whoo, I may go get that." I'm sorry, probably not going to do that. Probably not going to order the jersey because I'm not a huge jersey guy anyway. But I thought it was a nice,
that's what it's all about,
clean look for Tennessee. Clearly, I think we've seen enough from Heupel at this point to know that they're going to do this every year and that they're going to continue to design new jerseys that recruits and the team loves, and they'll find a way to wear them at least once, probably twice. They may wear them twice. We'll see what happens this year. But I know that each year they come out with one of these jerseys, you're going to hate it. So what did you think of the jersey release that Tennessee had the other day?
Yeah, I mean, I hate some more than others. I think some of these things have been horrific. On its own, if you look at the jersey, just look at for what it is, like the stars are kind of cool, you know, it's fine. If a team has a cool jersey and a brand and, like, this is their tradition, I would rather them wear that.
Yeah.
I've said this before. It's like you take a picture. You take your kids to the game, and you take a picture, and then like 20 years later, people are like, "So who are those football teams? What team did you go see? What was that? Who was that?" You know, it's just, and again, it's just marketing crap. So you can call me a boomer. I mean, look, I'm Gen X. The oldest Gen X people, you know, are 60 right now.
Yeah,
that's very depressing. I'm not close to that, by the way. So, but that's fine. I mean, I understand it's for recruiting everything. Also, it's to sell more jerseys.
Sure.
And I mean, how many programs don't do this? Ohio State resisted this for a long time, which I respected.
Well, Alabama does not do it.
They don't do it at all.
I have not seen Alabama do this. Not yet.
I that makes sense. Now that you say it, that totally makes sense. You know what? Tip of the cap to Alabama. Don't mess this up, Kalen.
Georgia has
done it. Don't mess this up, Kalen.
Georgia's had the black uniform that I thought looked pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, these like black uniforms, they all look the same to me. And I understand it's like, you know, like you're the Raiders and it's more intimidating. Like Tennessee's black uniforms are so dumb. What that was they played Kentucky in those.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you look like candy corn. You want to play football looking like candy corn? See, you're going to get me all mad now. It doesn't
matter. They won
that
game by about 45 points.
Yeah, well, great. And then they jumped into a bowl of some peanuts, and then someone took a handful of them and ate them for Halloween.
No, they wore the black uniform with the white helmet, which was a terrible look the year before that. God. I think in the Georgia game, and that did not go well.
Yeah.
Didn't go very well.
I think Tennessee's uniforms are awesome. Orange jerseys, white pants. Not orange and orange. You don't want to look like a creamsicle. Again, you're looking like all the candy of my youth. You just go with your uniform. If I go to a big game, I would like to – this goes back to the first year I was on Twitter, and I was late getting on Twitter. I mean, I got in so many fights with so many Michigan State fans about this because they came out and they played Michigan, these stupid – they look like little army men.
Yeah.
Dumb Nike, whatever the heck those are called.
It's like Nike Pro Combat.
Yeah. Brr, it's just stupid. Yeah. And then Michigan is in their normal jerseys, and then they go in the locker room, and they come out looking like bumblebees with these stupid – I'm like, can we – I mean, this is a great uniform game normally. It's a great contrast, the blue and the green. Look at this crap. What are we watching here?
I remember that.
It's just stupid. Kirk Cousins out there. Yeah. It's just – I can't stand it. But – I understand it's marketing, and yeah, sure, recruits. I don't know. Alabama seems to be okay. I'm glad you told me Alabama doesn't do it. Now I'm an Alabama fan. They seem to be recruiting okay without doing something stupid to their uniforms.
They do. The thing is, like, I think Tennessee fans like it, generally speaking. If they did it more than like once a year, twice max, with Tennessee fans, like that's kind of where I fall. You want to do it once a year? Okay, whatever. That's fine. You start to do it much more than that, and I start to fall into your camp of, hey, guys, you got pretty good uniforms the way they are. Just go back to wearing those. That's fine.
And I just think
the orange helmet they pulled out there the other year, even before they got sandblasted by South Carolina and had them those orange helmets on, I was like, just wear the white helmet.
And I personally – if I was a coach, I'd be like, can we wear these for like when we play, you know, UMass?
Kent State?
Yeah, because for a big game, I want like my, like, you know, the vintage stuff. Someone's asked me, since when does candy corn have black? Yeah, I don't know why, but it just seems like candy corn to me. But that's a fair point. Candy corn is just orange and white. I don't know. I don't know why I thought candy corn, but they look – like, what's the is it like toffee, peanut butter toffee?
Sure.
It comes like in Halloween in the back, you know, the black wrapping and the orange. Yeah. How about that?
There you go. What's your favorite? Because I like the Vandy when they've got like the gold tied in there. I kind of like it. What's your favorite Vandy? Is it just the black uniform, white pants? What's your favorite look they've got?
They've had some good combos. And the thing about Vandy is, yeah, I mean, I like the gold. But I like some, like with the black jerseys, you know. Vandy has some good combos, and they've had enough variants where it's like, you know, Tennessee, it's like, this is the uniform. Alabama, this is the uniform. Vanderbilt's changed enough where it's like, just do a cool combination. I mean, it's not quite like
Oregon.
Well, I was going to say, it's not quite like Oregon, but Oregon made a tradition of, guess what our uniform will be this week, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because before they started doing all that stuff, I thought their uniforms were ugly. So, you know, so that's fine. So Vanderbilt's kind of in that. I can't remember a Vanderbilt uniform where it was like, oh my God, what are you doing?
No, you know? Like I think they've got a good
color scheme. Good color scheme anyway with black and gold.
Do you think the new Vanderbilt logo has grown on people? Because people were really upset about the star being gone when it happened.
I mean, yeah, it's very fine. Mad. From the start, I was like, okay, that's fine. I don't. And again, like they changed from something that hadn't even been there that long anyway.
I know.
I think, yeah. But of course, you know, if they lose a big game or whatever, then that'll be tied into the complaint. And the logo. Rebecca says harvest corn has brown. Okay.
We're getting closer.
I don't know why I thought of candy corn. It's really weird. Someone says Joe has really shown his age clutching to his white New Balances. I do not wear New Balances.
I could see you wearing some New Balances.
I got Nikes on, okay? Isn't that cool? They're lame, white, walking
little
Nikes for an
kids.
Old man, but, you know, they are Nikes.
Joe, this is a big week in the landscape of college football. College football 25 coming out this week.
Speaking of showing my age.
The new next-gen video game models. I, for one, will be playing it at some point this week. I'm looking forward to it. There's not been a college football game released in more than 10 years. So out of this NIL new era stuff that we're in, I think a very positive development has come out. Arch Manning has even decided to be in it late in the game. So,
yeah, well, players getting paid is a positive development.
I guess he tried to lead a movement of not being in the game and then ultimately came back into it. But
the movement was, yeah, you're going to pay me more to be in the game.
You're going
to
do that.
So Uncle Eli and I are going to do a cool commercial for it now.
And he's like a he's like an 88 overall or something. It's never
backup
played. But
yeah, sure.
There is that.
What's Quinn Ewers?
I think he's in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. You probably have the starter who
he's going to play.
Should be higher than him.
There is that. Do we think this is going to be a big week of like testing marriages? Like, I know my wife is already not very excited about this thing coming out. I've been trying to lay the groundwork and prepare her for this for, you know, 3-4 weeks now. So, big week coming up in college football. A lot of people going to be playing college football 25. I mean,
is this why you took off the week?
I mean, it's not why, but after I did it, I did think about, not a bad decision by you, man.
So Friday at what time can you start playing?
I don't know. There is a chance I may talk myself into the
deluxe?
The deluxe version. Okay. Just go ahead and do it.
How much more is the deluxe version?
I think it's like $30 more, which is potentially – I mean
– What do you get with it other than earlier start?
I don't know.
Nick, do you know? No, he doesn't care.
Oh, he's looking it up.
Oh, he's looking it up.
Yeah.
All right.
I know the regular version is like $69.99. I think the deluxe version is $99.99.
Okay, but you can still play like dynasty mode of them, and look, I'm excited for all of you who are excited about this. I was way out of video games, you know. Like I was
a lot of people very pumped up about this.
Yeah, no, it looks cool. I mean, a bunch of my coworkers are like out of their mind. David Ubbin is going to lose his mind. He's on maternity leave or paternity leave with their second baby. And, like, he's just going to play this 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And he's just – I've looked at some of the features. I've seen some little
clips. It looks awesome.
It looks awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, to me, it's too complicated to play. I don't want to play that. I want to play Tecmo Bowl
and have two buttons.
I want two buttons and a little thing that I can move my guy. I can pick some plays. But you guys all have fun.
Well, we asked the question to begin. Hashtag Boomer Joe. Joe Rexroth a boomer?
He's a major boomer.
And we can
now
answer it in the affirmative at the end of it.
Yep. Also, the main difference between the regular version, which I got, that I will be picking up on Thursday night, and the deluxe version is literally the 3-day difference, and you get, apparently, you get 4,600 college football points.
Sure.
To your profile, I guess. So
it's really just 3 days.
It's really just to get it 3 days early.
Yeah, you just get it 3 days. Yeah, I don't know about that.
Maybe I can, though.
Yeah, ask
me again tonight.
Deluxe version. Deluxe version tells me, you know, you get to.
There's got to be something else.
You get a special, like, Nick Saban message. All right, now, thanks for playing.
Appreciate you buying this game.
Yeah.
Supporting our student athletes. Thank you, Nick. 615-737-1025. Michael in Madison says, as a deluxe edition owner, I cannot lie. I'm very excited to be able to play today right when I get home from work. Like a lot of people feel that way.
There you go.
They're going to make some money off this one. I have no doubt.
They are.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into the Titans coming up next. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach, will join us at 7:30. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.